You may not know it, but he knows where you are. Did you ever think he must have a huge computer up there? Well, yeah, because he's got information on everybody in this world. He knows what's going on in your life. Stop and think about that. How powerful, how knowledgeable our God is. How many know what today is? That's right. But how many of you know what today is in the world? It's a paganistic holiday. For you, you don't like that? Take it up with the Lord. Halloween is not a Christian holiday. Whether you want to make it one, that is your problem. But it is not a Christian holiday. I went online. I used to be able to go online and find out all kinds of stuff. But do you know that I can't find very much, John, that I used to find about Halloween being a paganistic holiday? You know why? What's going on in our country today? Everything is being squelched. Everything is being put down. Anything that comes against the Word of God is rising up and pushing down what God's Word says. We're in a very rough time. I want to share with you something that I did find, and it was something that Billy Graham. How many ever listened to Billy Graham? And I'll tell you, I used to listen to him when I first got saved. That was one person that I listened to all the time. Billy Graham made a statement, and it's not very much what he said, but I will share with you. He shared Ephesians 6, 10, and 12, and he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Ephesians 6, 10 and 12. Then he goes on to say, Halloween can be a difficult time for Christians to navigate as they seek to honor God during a season where princes costumes and superhero capes are sold alongside demon horns and witches. In addition, television shows commonly feature the supernatural and evil forces, creating a need for Christians to consider the content they are consuming and how it aligns with their beliefs. While the Bible does not exactly mention Halloween, God's word is clear about the dangers of toying with an occult. Multiple books in the Old Testament strongly denounce an attempt to tap into the supernatural world via mediums, sorcery, magicians, and fortune tellers. I'm going to give scriptures here which I could give to you, but you probably won't remember them, so I'm not going to give them to you. But I do want to read some scriptures before I even get into my sermon. And one of the scriptures is Proverbs, the third chapter, and the fifth and the sixth verse, which is one of my favorite verses. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. Acknowledge God in everything, and he shall direct your paths." Very simple. To me, it's a very simple verse. Very simple verses. And they mean exactly what they say. That we can't try to understand the things of God and the things of this world. We're living in desperate times. We're living in hard times. And if we don't start learning to trust God, I know, I read where a doctor in Florida has said she will not take any patients that are not vaccinated. If they're not vaccinated, she will not treat them. They'll have to find another doctor. It's just one of the signs of what's coming down the pipe. What the devil is going to try to do. And the church needs to stand and be strong. We need to unite together. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us. Not only in our own individual lives, but in our church services. God can do more through the Holy Spirit in a few minutes than we can do in weeks and months of preaching. The Word is good, don't get me wrong. The Word has caused me to grow. The Word has given me life. And Jesus Christ is life. But we must trust the Lord. And Romans, I want to read Romans, the 12th chapter. And I want to read the first and second verses. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the will of God. That we give ourselves totally unto the Lord. Totally unto the Lord. We make ourselves a sacrifice unto God. How do I do that? Have you ever thought about that? How do I become a living sacrifice? I toyed with that for many years. How can I become a living sacrifice? And you know what? I can become a living sacrifice because I give my time in prayer. I sacrifice my time in prayer. I sacrifice my time reading the Bible. In other words, I give up the things of this world to serve God. I make that sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Let me get there. 1 Corinthians. Yes. 10th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Let me get my eyes on. And it said, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? God's telling us. And you say, well, demons are, we get these demonic figures in our mind, you know, some animal or something like that. Demonic forces are powers that are spiritual powers that work against us. And I'm talking a little bit about Halloween. The spirit of Satan is out there. And he's going to take advantage of everything he can take advantage of. He's going to take advantage of your kids, you, or whoever you are. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm telling you this day that we're in one of the greatest battles as Christians that we have ever been in before. I've been ministering for 50 years. 50 years. And I have never seen a fight that we are in right now spiritually. Paganistic gods of old have taken over our country, clouding over our country and our nation. abortion and all these things, transgenders and everything. Don't come to me and tell me that's of God. That is not of God. God created man in the Garden of Eden. He made man. And then out of the rib of man, he made woman. Man and woman. That's what we are. Do not accept the things of this world. Be not conformed to the way this world. Be transformed. I don't know about where you are, but I do know that God wants to move us from where we are to a greater position in Him. That's God's desire for every one of us here today, to move us. Are we going through a hard time? Yes, we are. We're going through a battle in our country, in our nation, a nation which was grounded with God. I entitled my message. You didn't get my message yet. I haven't got started yet. So hold on to your seat. Difficult and desperate times. We are in difficult and desperate times like we have never been before. Never have we as a nation been in the situation we are in right now and the battles that we have that are confronting us on a daily basis. We don't know who's telling the truth and who is not telling the truth. Amen? Amen. So what word do I believe? I believe the Word of God. I believe what the Word of God tells me. And I stand upon the Word of God. And you know what? I need power. How many want power in their life? Not to be a show, but to be able to do the things that God wants you to do. Hallelujah. And that power comes. And that it comes in the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. God wants to baptize every individual. What makes you a candidate to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are born again. Did you know there's people in the church that have verbally said they received Christ, but they're not born again? Are you hearing me? They said it with their mouth, but their heart was not where it should be. And to receive Jesus Christ. We need, I can remember, you say, well, that's the way it was then, not now. I can remember when people were at the altar and they weren't getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they were crying and tears were coming out. They were yielding themselves to God. The Holy Spirit was coming in. They were being born again. You see, Jesus Christ, whether you realize it or not, was the first one to be born again. Come on now. He was put to death on the cross, buried, and came back to life. He was born again. In Christ Jesus, we become creatures, what? That are changed. Our lives are changed. We are changed from the world to God. I cannot walk in the world. I cannot act like the world. I can remember for 30 years of my life, I served the devil out there. And I served him in fullness, if you understand what I'm saying. I did everything he wanted me to do, and I did it. But there was a day at an altar in my home. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in a service. You can be in your own home, and the Word gets to you, and you kneel at an altar, and my altar became a coffee table. One night after work, I came home and read my Word and knelt at that coffee table, and I received Jesus Christ into my life. I became born again. There was a change. I became a new creature in Christ. You can become a new creature in Christ. Sometimes we got to get back down to the altar. We got to get back down to the altar and say, God, cleanse me. Because sometimes as we live and walk our lives, things come into our lives and we do things that we get used to doing. And there are things that are contrary to what God wants us to do. And sometimes we need to come back to that altar. We need to come back to the altar and ask God, bless me. cleanse me, clean me, search me, show me, lead me. And we're all imperfect. Now, if you think you're perfect, I'm going to talk to you after church. Because none of us are perfect. I'm going to tell you when we're going to become perfect. How many want to become perfect? I do. Do you know when that's going to happen? You know when that perfection is going to come? It's when Jesus Christ comes back and takes us home. We become perfect then. Hallelujah. Because we put off this corrupt body. We put it off and we put on that spiritual body. Hallelujah. Praise God. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. Did that come across? Did that come across? You say, well, I'm not called to a ministry and I'm not called to this. I'm going to ask you all a question. Can you pray? Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to pray? Because you can do something. You can pray for our country. You can pray for our pastor. You can pray for our church. You can pray for every sinner that's out there. And you can pray for God to move. You can pray for revival. You can get down and spend some time before the throne of God in your own home and pray for the church. Pray for what God wants to do in our lives. I want God to do. Maria, do you want God to do something great in your life? I do. Glenn, you want to feel the real presence of God in your life? I want to feel it when I wake up in the morning. I don't want to, you know, I get up some mornings and I have trouble breathing. And you'll say, well, Pastor, do you believe in healing? Most certainly. Most certainly. God's healed me before. If I don't get healed this time, I don't know, but I'm believing for God to heal me. I'm believing in the healing power of Jesus Christ. And I stand upon His Word. I am healed by the stripes of Christ. You're healed by the stripes of Christ. And you know that healing don't only go for physical healing. It goes for mental healing. It goes for healing of finances. It goes for the healing of everything in your life. Everything in your life. God wants to touch it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I'm looking for eternal life. Are you looking for eternal life? You know, I one day I may go by the grave or I may go by the rapture. I have no idea. But I know one day it's going to come to that point. I'm going to cross over. Hallelujah. And God is going to take me home. And then I can look for hallelujah coming back and reigning with Him for a thousand years. Hallelujah. And then being with Him for eternity. Yeah, I was going to say a million years of eternity. I don't know how long eternity is. Eternity has no end. Hallelujah. We'll be up there praising God eternally. Praising Him. Before, oh, glory to God. That's exciting. That's exciting. To realize that one day we'll be together up there praising Him. You know, the other day I was sitting in my living room in my chair. I was thinking about my family. I'm the baby out of seven. All my brothers and sisters and their husbands and wives are gone on to be with the Lord. All of them. I'm the last one left of the row there. And I was sitting there thinking, and tears came to my eyes. Because I'm sitting there thinking, one day I'll cross over. I'll cross over. And when I do, I'll get to see my brothers and my sisters. I'll get to see my mother and my dad. And it got me. I just couldn't help it. One day that's going to happen. I don't know. And that's a promise to all of us that know Jesus Christ. Every one of us that knows Jesus Christ as our Savior is going to cross over one day. Hallelujah. difficult times or desperate times call for difficult and desperate measures. Sometimes in the middle of these situations, we have to make hard, very hard decisions. The hardest decision we will ever make is the one about our soul. That's one of the hardest decisions we'll ever make. That day that I gave up the world for Jesus Christ. The day you gave up the world for Jesus Christ. The day you said, Jesus, take over my life, was one of the hardest decisions to break. Because you see, when I made that decision to serve the Lord, I lost a lot of people that I thought were my friends. I couldn't associate with them anymore because they wanted me to do the things in the world. I had to deny myself. I had to become that living sacrifice, sacrificing the things that I wanted for the things that God wanted for me. And that's what we all have to do, make that decision. That's one of the hardest ones to make. Life always brings difficult and sometimes desperate times. How many feel like we're in the most desperate time we've ever been in this nation? You feel that way? Hard times. Look at the gas prices. Be thankful you're not in California. Be thankful you're not in a lot of these other places. Be thankful because gas prices are $6 and $7. I read where Canada is $6 and something a gallon. Just think, 2 gallons of gas is going to cost you $13. Just for 2 gallons of gas. Desperate times. We have to be very cautious. Trust the Lord. I believe there's only one answer. We can look to man. He will fail us. We can look other places. They will fail us. One place that won't fail is God. We need to bind ourselves together in prayer. Whether we're in our homes or whether we're in church. We got a prayer, intercessory prayer team that prays every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I got that right, Bob? Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Bob contacts us and gets us all on the cell phone. And I guess, Bob, if somebody wants to get on, they can talk to you, right? They come in here. Church is open. But prayer is the essential thing. We need intercessory prayer for each person in the body of Christ. And another thing, a lot of churches have conformed to the ways of the world. A lot of churches have, and pastors. Be careful who you're listening to and what you're watching. Because I'm telling you, they're going to be responsible. And you are going to be responsible for your own walk. The scriptures in John cause us to face the reality of a risen Savior. It touches the inner man and causes a self-evaluation to take place under the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is not enough. We must focus on the resurrection of Christ and realize that resurrection brings life. How many of you understand that? We focus on the resurrection. You see, without the resurrection, we have nothing. Without the resurrection of Christ, we do not have life. But with the resurrection of life of Christ, we have life, life eternal, and more abundantly, he says. Hallelujah. And through experiencing the miracle of being born again, we become transformed into a new creature for God. What's next? What happens after we become a new creature for God? First, we must hold fast to the pattern of sound words which we have heard from faith in the Word and love which are in Christ Jesus in 2 Timothy 1 and 13. Faithfulness and loyalty are not handed to us on the silver platter. How many of you know that? Sometimes we expect God to reach down and change everything for His purposes with a magic wand. Change everything in your life. How many of you know that struggles cause you to be stronger with the Lord? How many of you know that struggles cause you to be, your faith to grow and you become more powerful in your walk with God? How many of you know that the more you quote the Word of God, the stronger you become? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, acknowledge Him in all the ways, and He shall direct your path. He shall show you the way. You know, I'm telling you, we need, before we buy a car or a house, we need to get down and talk to God. God knows what's down the road. God knows what's going to happen in your life. He knows where what's going to confront you. He knows where you're going to be. And you know, faithfulness and loyalty, like I said, are not handed on a silver platter. And sometimes we expect God just to step in and change everything. Here I am sitting here with an oxygen tank. I never thought I'd ever be in this position. I thought, man, I had it. You know, I had control over everything. Man, boy, everything was going all right. And the devil blindsided me. Because I don't believe sickness and disease comes from God. I'm sorry. Satan is the father of sickness and disease, not God. But I have a source, a lifeline, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithfulness and loyalty walk hand in hand. The Thorndike Barner Dictionary definition of faithfulness is being worthy of trust. Being worthy of trust. Being faithful with God is being worthy of His trust. Trusting us to be faithful with Him. True, and keeping our promise. Loyalty is defined as faithful to love, promise, or duty. Faithful, loyalty is defined as faithful. I'm faithful. I'm loyal to whatever I see. Whatever I see going in this world. Whatever I see happening out there. God, why don't you change this right now? I don't know. How many of you know what God's doing right now? I sure don't. But I do know one thing. He's doing something. He's not sitting on heaven saying, "Oh, Jesus, my son, look down there, those poor people. You know, what are we going to do?" Jesus said, "Well, let's just wait a while." You say, "Well, you're crazy." Well, maybe so. I've been at this 50 years. I can be crazy. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I believe God is saying, "Son, we got to get to work." "Okay, Father, what's going to happen?" He said, "Well, we're going to talk to the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk to Him. He's going to do the work. We're going to tell Him. We're going to direct Him. He's in charge down there." Get on the royal telephone. You know that song, "The Royal Telephone"? You ever sing it? Get on that royal telephone and talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Talk to God. Say, "God, I don't know what's going on, but Lord, I'm backing You in prayer. I'm praying that, God, You're going to move by Your Holy Spirit. I'm praying. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but I do know this, that God's working and God's moving and God's going to do something on this earth. And I'll tell You what He's going to do." Can I tell you what He's going to do? One thing He's going to do. He's bringing the body of Christ together. Listen to me. When God comes back to a church, it's not the church of God. It's not the assembly of God. It's not a Presbyterian church. It's not a Baptist church. It's the body of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, which is the church. That's what He's coming back for. And He's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle, not a blemish. And it takes all of us, every born-again Christian, is baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We are all part of the body of Christ. The brothers down there that believe in Jesus Christ, that were baptized into the body and born again, they are part of the body and part of us. We're all in unity. It's not denominations he's coming back for. It's for the church, which is Jesus Christ. And we need to be ready. Am I committed to Jesus? Am I faithful to the love relationship with Christ? Am I worthy of His trust? Am I committed to the challenge of serving the Lord? Am I committed to that challenge of serving God? You know, many people have given up their jobs to serve the Lord, walked away from jobs and positions just to serve God and do what God wanted them to do. I did. And don't look at me, but I did. I walked away. And let me show you how God works. I worked in the mines in Bisbee, and the mines shut down. And so they opened mines up in Safford. They handpicked 130-some men from the mines, and I was one of them, to go to Safford, Arizona, to work in a brand-new mine. Well, my partner and all of them went, and I went to the main boss, and I said, I'd like to go back to Pennsylvania, see my family before I go to work up there. They said, oh, my, certainly, that's all right. And when you get back, give us a call. Well, in the meantime, I'd already filed an application in the church for my credentials, and I was waiting for that. But in the meantime, I went to Pennsylvania, and on the way back, I got a call from down here in Arizona that they wanted me to take the test for my exhorters. So I had to hurry up back and study and all that and get ready and go and take my test. And in the meantime, I called the hiring agent up there and said, well, I'm back in Arizona. You know, now this is how we operate. In my mind, I said, man, I'll get my credentials and I'll go to Safford and work and I'll start a church there in Safford because we didn't have one. Now, that was Arnold thinking. All right? Well, I called Safford, and they said, well, we don't have places for all the men that we got up here, so call us next week. That went on for week after week after week. And finally, you know what? I called them. I said, I finally got down, I called, and I said, do you have a job? They said, no, because I said, no, I ain't calling you next week. I said, if you got a job for me, you call me. I called the state office and said, I'm ready to go into ministry, wherever you want me. And they found a place for me. I went to San Manuel. And I thank God, because that was the start of God. What I'm saying, sometimes we need to trust God. God knows what's best. And do you know another thing? I was told after that out of all the men they moved to Safford to go to work, only one that they had was going to move didn't go. Guess who that was? Yeah, it was me. I was the only one that didn't go. What I'm trying to get across to you is we trust God. God knows what's best for us. He knows where He wants us. He knew what, you know, He was blocking me all the way. And I talk about working. God's working right now. He's moving right now. I'm telling you, God is moving on the body of Christ, and God is moving on the church. And He's moving in people's lives. He's trying to get people ready. He's trying to get our children ready. He's trying to get our grandchildren ready. He's trying to get our family members all ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. He's trying to get the body of Christ and drawing it together. God is working to move by His Spirit to bring the body of Christ together to get the church ready for the rapture. Well, I know the word rapture isn't in the Bible. Let's don't get into that. Because it means a taking away. That's what it means, a taking away, and that's what the rapture is. It's a taking away. He's going to take us out of this earth. Hallelujah! Glory to God! One day! Hallelujah! We're going to be changed in the twinkling. Can't you shout? We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Boom! Do you know what the twinkling of an eye is? You know what it means? It's just, it's done. It's going to be, and we're going to be gone. And you're not going to take your clothes with you because you don't have a spiritual body. You won't have to worry about buying clothes. I'm going to buy some clothes and get ready. No, you don't get to buy clothes and get ready for the rapture. Because, hallelujah, you're going to be changed in a spiritual body, and you're going to be, and you're going to meet with the righteous dead in the air, and you're going to be, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Man, God got something great in store for us. It will just hang on. Hang on. Do you know Jesus? I better wrap this up or we'll be here till midnight. When Christians turn away from the things of God and the church and fail to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we can ask the question, are we holding fast to the words of God? We must have a firm foundation in Christ. This means we must trust the Word and Christ's love and His faith and His love in us. Faith goes beyond man's ability or understanding. Faith is a development of trust, belief, hope, integrity of one's heart toward God. Faith centered in any other area brings about turmoil in our lives. We can look to the world of today and reality strikes home. Crime, gang shootings, rape, murder, child abuse, all this and more. We must look to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:1 tells us, in the last days, perilous times will come. Are they here now? Some may give up, but we must remain sound in the Word of God. Hold fast to our teaching and stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. We must remain loyal to the Father and to the family of God. We need the church more today than we ever have. We need Christ, and we need each other. We need each other to pray for each other, to support each other. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What have we heard from Washington? Nothing but lies. Nothing. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. Continue in the Scripture. Just read means to keep on the path. Keep reflection to each of us. Our responsibility is to be loyal no matter what we see or what we hear. Whatever is going on out there, whatever we hear and see, be loyal to each other. Be loyal to the body of Christ. Be loyal to Jesus Christ. Be loyal to Christ. There are prayer time, our Bible reading, continually pray and seeking. Keep being used by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He lives in us and gives us strength and knowledge and wisdom to make decisions we must follow in these last days. We must be led of the Holy Spirit. We must discipline ourselves to prayer, Bible reading, attending church, fellowship with other Christians in the body. Time is running out. The clock is slowly ticking down. We need to revive the Spirit which dwells in us. How many know we need revival? I need revival. Every one of us needs revival. We must rekindle the fire in our soul and let fresh waters that flow from God's throne cause the desire of God to draw us to a walk with Jesus. Not looking to the left or to the right, but being faithful, being loyal in Christ. When Jesus becomes the center of our lives, Jesus must become the center of your life. All things will fall into place. You must set your eyes upon heaven, looking for the coming of Christ, but striving to add to the kingdom. The mission of the church is to reach souls. We must be loyal, faithful to His word and His work on earth. The church must step forward and grasp a hold of the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. We must develop a relationship of trust and love through the Holy Spirit. We are conquerors. The Bible tells us we are more than conquerors. I'm telling you this morning, you are more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You are the strength of God. You are the work of God. You are the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has set an example for every one of us. We must move forward, saving, seeing souls saved and brought to the kingdom. We must move forward, trusting God, knowing that no matter what's coming down the road, that God is going to take care of us. God is going to provide for us. He is our provider. He provides your home. He'll provide your finances, your money, your food. He'll provide your clothing. He'll provide everything for you if you trust Him and believe in Him. I want to say this morning, as I end, and I know you're probably saying amen, but I'm telling you this morning, that God is looking for a people that will give their lives to Him in this day and time. They're hard times. Be not be conformed to the way of the world. Be transformed, as it tells us, by the renewing your mind. Get into the Word. If you haven't been in the Word, get into the Word. Start reading the Word. Start living the Word. Allow the Word to guide and lead you and bring you into the point where God wants you to be. It's the Word. It's the Word that got me to where I'm at. It's the Word. And the Word has given me life. It has given me life more abundantly. I couldn't be up here today, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for God and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be sitting here this morning. But God called me over 50 years ago. And I said yes. Until the day I give up the ghost, or the day I go in the rapture, I'm going to do my best to preach His gospel, to preach the truth of His word with the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'd like my wife to come up. She will. This is something that I'm going to ask her to go to the piano. God is so good. You know, I was talking to someone who was come to church here yesterday, called me and was asking me something about the Old Testament and Scripture and what it meant. He'd been reading it, and we were talking, and I said to him, yeah, I just turned 83. He said, 83? He said, you're 10 years older than I am. And I thought about that. God, you've had me on this earth for 83 years. I've gone through things. And I won't get into all of it. But I'm telling you, God wants to move in your life. God wants to do something for you. I remember they rolled me down a corridor. My heart was smashed from an automobile wreck. And I said, God, I'm yours. They got down there and couldn't find anything wrong with my heart. Just going down a corridor. There's times in the mines that I was carried out in the basket. I got caved in on. They carried me out. And my partner and the night foreman went back up into the place where we were working, because my partner said to me, he said, I'll go get help to get you out. I was hung up in there. I said, no, get me out of here. He got me out. But the night foreman then went back up, and that whole place had caved in. If he wouldn't have got me out, I wouldn't be here today. You say, well, that was just no. That was God working then. Down through my life, God has come. I'm telling you, God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. You may feel that you're in the worst position you've ever been in. You may be struggling in your life with finances, your home, or whatever. But God sees you. He knows you. And He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows it. Nobody else may know what your feelings are, but God knows your feelings. He knows the heartache that you have, Tony. He knows the pain that you're suffering in your body. If I may take my liberty, sister, if there's anybody that needs to be anointed and prayed for, let me share something with you. Sometimes when we step out and take that walk, it's a walk of faith. I had a man one time that God stopped me in the middle of my sermon, said, give an altar call. The Holy Spirit was moving. And I said, okay. And I gave an altar call for healing. This man could not turn his head. He lost his job. He was a truck driver. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And I use it as an example. He stepped out in the aisle. Nobody laid a hand on him. Nobody anointed him. But he stepped out the aisle and took a few steps. And he stopped and he started turning his head. He said, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I didn't heal him. God healed him. Why? Because he stepped out by faith. He stepped out believing when he stepped out that God was going to do something in his life. And I say this morning, I want you to stand with me.